During Robert Brogdon's Olathe Buick GMC clearance event, save up to 20% on new models like the 2023 Buick Encore GX or GMC Sierra 1500. View their huge inventory at robertbrogdon.com and find your perfect match.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Tuesday, May 11th, 2021. Another celebrity that took time out of their schedule to play in the Joe McGuff ALS Golf Classic yesterday was Jamie Bluma, and also another celebrity that has showed up and then did his business and left. I want to congratulate Todd Lebo. He came out, did a quick interview with George Brett, ate a hamburger with my dad, and then back to work. Because you know that there's, if Lebo's one thing, all business.
It's a grinder.
Got the interview done.
Grinder.
Yelled at me because in the background of the interview, I was making PA announcements.
Yeah.
I said, well, that's what I'm my job. I'm doing the PA announcements.
You're messing up his audio, dude.
But then he listened to it. It was okay. But you can hear me in the background. But so what? I'm part of the interview. But Bluma, did you have a good time yesterday at the golf tournament?
Amazing. Amazingly good time. Yes.
Did you have a good time like Nate did, or?
Yeah. We hung out afterwards. Oh. Post.
We were carousing.
Post, wait a minute.
Yeah.
We were carousing.
Yep.
How long did this go on? I that took Susan and the kids.
Yeah, we had a little post fireside chat.
Just for you.
Yeah. You know, we spent a lot of the time talking about what an amazing human being Jeff Montgomery is.
Sure he is. It's Monty.
Bluma basically gave me a good rundown of how, what a class act. I mean, we all know that, but
right,
from his own perspective, what a class act Monty has always been.
And you can bring him in for the save.
And so. Monty was there yesterday. Got to talk with him a little bit.
That's right.
You know, he's doing post-game, pre-game, all that. So we,
another celebrity, local athlete, VIP, that is generous enough to give his time for the Joe McGuff ALS Golf Classic.
You know, I do, in all seriousness, want to say a couple things about the event. Number one, it is, you do an incredible job emceeing that thing, and you always have.
Yes.
Stop it now.
It's obvious how much the whole cause means to you, how invested you are in it. You're not just showing up and emceeing and going home. You're involved in the planning. You're involved in all that.
Elaborate a little bit more about the job I do as an MC.
You do an incredible job.
Okay.
Except for the part where you made fun of me quite a bit. Like, every time, it's really embarrassing for me because every time I walk by, Steven would be like, by the way, don't forget you can bid to play golf with legendary broadcaster Navy. Well,
I usually pick out
around
someone that I want to focus on during the PA announcements, and yesterday was you.
And then,
you were all over the place.
Yeah,
so,
because then I tried to go hit some balls on the driving range, and because I didn't know at that time that what my group was going to be like, if they were going to be the kinds that wanted to really play some golf or the kind that wanted to do some shots, and so I was like, well, I better hit some shots ahead of time just to be sure I'm okay. And then all of a sudden, over the PA, I hear, Nate Buchanan, please get over to take your picture with George Brett and Tom Watson.
No one could find
you. Everyone's looking for you.
Lindy was trying to like, where is Nate? Because you were here, you were there, and you were across here. You were
really having a bloody Mary.
He was like,
right?
He was like a pinball machine. He was all over the place.
Not at that point yet. I didn't know what.
I was trying to find the driver range right through my bloody Mary.
I was too busy. Glug, glug. And then he was there, and he took the picture.
Well,
and
then that's where I met my team, and they all already had bloody Marys in their hands. And I said, okay, that's the kind of group I'm with. All right, let's go.
Same as
but
mine.
In all seriousness, when Steven's listing off all of the celebrities that are playing, it's pretty much all real celebrities, and then me. Like, everybody out there is a legendary athlete, a performer, professional athlete, a person that everybody in this town knows and loves. And it is a little intimidating when you're out there as just the dopey sportscaster guy that happens to be friends with the guy that's emceeing it. And so I feel like I do need to kind of turn it up a notch and have to make sure I'm at least fun for the people I'm playing with.
I got to make a name for myself out here.
Well, you know, but it is, what is cool about that is, and we say it all the time, you know, Boddicker said it when he had his bourbon raffle, this town.
Yeah,
is,
you had a bourbon raffle yesterday, I think, and you won.
Yeah.
So,
but this town is so incredible for so many reasons. We have, everybody is so charitable. All the people that signed up to play in the tournament, they do it to have fun, but they do it first and foremost because it's such an incredible cause. And all these people that you listed off that we get to, and I'm, Now it's like, you know which faces you're going to see there every year. You know you're going to see Lilja there. You know you're going
to see Ryan yesterday.
Yeah.
It was good to see him.
Oh, man. You know you're going to see Colquitt, and he was out there, and he's just always in a good mood, always positive, always having a good time, and John Wathen and Jim Eisenreich and all these
Bob Dernier.
Bob Dernier was there. And
Kelly Goodburn.
What a good group of people. You know, like these people that were your childhood heroes, the people you grew up watching play ball. Then it turns out they're like awesome guys too, and that they say yes every time they get asked to play a tournament. Trent Green there, we're going to be out at his golf tournament coming up that he does for the Ronald McDonald House in a couple of weeks.
You were going to be out there. And if Trent's listening was part of this, they
Trent
may have
told
a,
me that you're out.
A quick adjustment.
I got invited to play in that last time, but I don't think I'm invited to play
uninvited.
In that.
Well.
I got uninvited. But we're there to.
Yeah,
like,
he just texted me and asked me if I wanted to play in
right.
it.
Hey, well, spot just opened up. Jake, are you available for the.
Yeah. Hmm.
Hey, big shout out to my team with Kim and Trisha and Colby and Dave. We had a ball yesterday.
Colby's the man.
Colby's a man.
Kauffman Center.
Absolutely.
Longtime listener.
Yes.
So
big fan.
It's
thank you guys.
And just everybody
and
at the ALS Association that puts that on. They put so much work into it.
Yep. Good job, Lindy. Good job, Paige.
Yeah. But
volunteers.
Everybody.
At the fireside chat at the end, there were a couple different times where Tom and George said something that really stood out to me, and it was about how, you know, the honoree that was there is going to be going to Boston to do a trial to see, because of events like this, because of the money that's been raised, and Kansas City's really the epicenter of it more than any other place in this country.
He's already gone before, and then he leaves again today.
Yeah, I mean, this is the kind of stuff that could actually, right now there's no cure for ALS. It's a death sentence. You get it? And we've all had somebody close to us die from it. Steven, you talked about your uncle. My friend James Sparks, who's a firefighter in KCK, was diagnosed with it 5 years ago now, and he lived for 2 years, you know, and that was it. But because of events like this, they're raising enough money where people can go on trials now. They're actually coming up with medical breakthroughs, and there's going to be a cure for this someday, I believe. And this is the kind of hope we're talking about. And George and Tom said, you know, someday we're not going to have this golf tournament anymore because there's a cure. And I thought to myself, yes, we will. You guys will always do that golf tournament because it's an incredible event. And even after a cure is formed, there's still going to be people that need treatment. There's still going to be people that need probably help getting to places like Boston, wherever it is. And also the celebration of what you guys have accomplished. You guys deserve to celebrate what you've accomplished heretofore for what you've done, because you've done such an incredible job with this event every single year.
You know, and George was, so Tom Watson and George Brett were up there speaking. And it's, man, it's emotional. It's difficult, and I always take my family with me. And I was lucky to have Susan and the kids there, because
good to see your whole squad. Man.
Thank you.
Yeah,
and it gets emotional because we always honor, and we call them, you know, warriors, an ALS warrior who's battling ALS, and Scott Smith and his wife, Jamie, and their entire family, two little girls, just awesome people. And Jamie delivered one of the best speeches I've ever heard at the golf tournament. And they talked about how, you know, their little girl Iris and then their newborn baby Hope, they named her Hope because they said that's what they have.
Yeah.
They hope that Scott can live to watch his two daughters grow up. He's 39 years old.
Man.
Right? And
picture of health before this.
What a courageous man. And he listens to the show. His family listens to the show. And I had a chance to spend some time with them before the tournament. And then it's the program. If you're not familiar with it, you come in from the golf from the round of golf. You get food. I guess you're from Red Door Grill. Thank you to Red Door Grill. They're awesome. And we sit down and we have the honoree up. And like I said yesterday, it was Scott and his wife, Jamie, and she spoke, and then he spoke. It crystallizes why we're there and puts a face to it. And you hear the story, and you see the baby and the little girls wandering around in the back as they're up at the podium speaking. And it was so overwhelming. And then,
I'm sure he doesn't mind me mentioning this. Like Tom Watson gets up there and tries to talk and just starts to
lose it.
He's in tears.
Yeah.
Right.
He
and then I'm in tears thinking about my uncle.
We all were.
Tom Watson's in tears thinking about Scott and thinking about his caddy, Bruce Edwards, and then George with his friend Keith Worthington. It's so emotional. And then we do we try to, you know, lighten it up and have a good conversation and have fun with the Q&A with Tom Watson, George Brett, and Trent Green. We do a little live auction and give out the prizes and everything else. But I always think it's important that we have an honoree there and we give them a chance to tell their story and hear all the background and hear their family, about their family and everything else, because it really reiterates why we're there, what we're doing, and what we're trying to accomplish. And so you're right. And there's a few, I don't have the whole list in front of me, but there's a few celebrities I want to mention. Chase Kaufman was out there.
He was in front of us, and they must have been sprinting. Because we weren't playing slow. My team wasn't playing slow at all. And Fitzmaurice and his group was right behind us.
Al Fitzmaurice, always there. He's awesome.
I never saw Chase Kaufman's team after the first hole. Like, are they running?
That was up by design. Like,
unbelievable.
Yeah. I mean,
like, what? Bloomer's behind us?
B-Mac, I saw. I'm surprised you didn't run and jump in his arms. I saw Travis Relaford out there.
Yeah, I saw him. I saw him there. I didn't say anything to him. I didn't want to bother.
Well, I just it's probably at the state in retrospect, good idea.
Yeah,
so
that
funny.
Was
good
one,
idea.
One
best
rare moment
you
of
made all day.
Yeah,
Steve St. John Sr. was very happy to meet Jan Stenerud and John Waffen.
Speaking of Jan, so funny story. We're going to get our picture taken because we were four, so we were pretty early in. And Jan wanted to see Tom Watson so bad. Jan Stenerud ended up in our picture.
Like Tom Watson does a mini clinic for the people there and gives you some tips. Like, I need a few tips before I go out for this round of golf. Let me ask Tom Watson. I go, okay, well, that seems pretty good. Before we break, can you play the clip of Todd Lebo out there? He went out and asked George Brett about the Royal Struggles. And then, play the 2 minutes. And then you could hear, me probably in the background, which led, I think, Todd unfairly chastised me afterwards.
Well,
but we'll listen to this. We'll take a break and then get your comments, and we'll transition into the 8-game losing streak and the Royals playing the Tigers tonight with Brady Singer on the mound. Here is Todd Lebo yesterday out at the Joe McGuff ALS Golf Classic, asking some questions of Hall of Famer George Brett.
Offensively, everybody's just trying too hard. And you've heard me say this before on your show. You got to try easier when you're losing. You can't go up there and put too much pressure on yourself. And that's what I see when I watch the games on TV. I see everybody trying to hit a 3-run home run with nobody on base. You just got to get on base. You just got to go 90 feet at a time. Kind of the concept of what they did in 2015. What did they say? Not one base at a time?
Keep
the line moving. There's no keep the line moving anymore. And they got to get that line moving again. Once they get that line moving, they'll be fine.
How losing streaks like this can kind of build on themselves. And I think Mike Matheny's got a really good message. Every time on the Zooms after the game, he's like, put it away, come back the next day, fight, do all those things. How hard is it to keep fighting when you're not winning a game?
Well, but you have to. If you don't, it's never going to turn around. And that's the one thing that I haven't seen anybody quit. The effort's still there. I just think there's too much effort, to be honest with you. I think Mike's done a great job. Saw what he did last year with the team, and I didn't get to go to spring training this year because of the protocol with COVID and stuff. But it's a long season. Hopefully this is their one big losing streak. It's still early in the season where it's not going to kill them. They're, 1-2 games out of first place. If somebody would have told you in March that the Royals are going to be 500 right now and 2 games out of, everybody in the city would have taken it. And they've endured a terrible losing streak. You saw Oakland get off to a terrible start. You saw Boston get off to a terrible start. And they've kind of rebounded. They're going to have another one.
Yeah.
The Royals will have another one. But you just got to make a 4-game, you've got to make it a 3 or 4 game losing streak, not 8. 8-game losing streaks really come and get you. It's better than being, it seemed like the last few years they've been like 10-25. That's hard to come back from.
Right.
And they've showed themselves, they've showed the manager, they've showed the fans that, hey, these guys can compete, they can play. And now they just got to get over this. I think a day off coming today is the best thing that could happen to them. Jump on a plane. Everybody will be together tomorrow or tonight on the flight to wherever they're going. And hopefully wake up Tuesday morning with a good attitude and go out and start a winning streak.
I look, I'm there to make
your only doing your job.
Right.
Right.
Todd.
Take him around the corner.
Todd said, hey, George, can we stand right in front of the speaker for this interview? Or? But George is a busy man. He's going here and there and everything else. So Todd, you know, hey, we heard what George said, right? So,
well, all I heard was Stephen St. John in the background reminding all of the celebrities that we got a nice gift from FootJoy.
Thank you very much. Very excited about that.
Took advantage of.
So let's take a break and then have Jamie give his thoughts on what George Brett had to say about the Royal struggles, and we'll get into it. This 8-game losing streak that hopefully ends tonight against the Tigers. We'll be back after this on WHB. So you heard George Brett making some comments about the Royals' struggles, losing 8 in a row. But first, I said this yesterday, he said it to Todd, and he's right. If somebody would have told you, and we need to remind ourselves, this is a team that Vegas had winning 72.
And a half.
And what did
the Pecota had 72 in Vegas. I got Vegas. I saw the number as high as 73
Vegas,
and a half.
Right.
I got it at 72 and a half.
Point is,
Pecota had him at 72.
Not projected to come close to a 500 team.
Right.
If somebody would have told you in March, on May 11th, there'll be a game under 500, a couple of games out of first place, playing some meaningful baseball, you'd have been, okay, all right.
Yes.
That seems reasonable.
But
they started off fast, raised their expectations. Now they've lost 8 in a row, and it feels like they'll never win another game again. Thankfully, the Detroit Tigers are the opponents tonight. Brady Singer on the mound. He needs to do what he's done, pitch very well against Detroit, end this losing streak. But you heard George talking about that and talking about they're trying too hard, I love what he said, trying to hit a 3-run home run with the bases empty. So your thoughts on what George had to say?
Agreed, you know, and that was the thing. We were doing everything early in the season and winning these type games, one-run games, and doing those things right. And the one thing that we talked about it before the season even started is we need to stay away from 8-game losing streaks or any extended losing streak, and we haven't been able to do it. It's not just been one thing. It's been everything. Defense has let us down a couple times. Offense isn't doing anything. We've had some terrible starts. Somebody's got to be able to go out there and be the stopper. You know, that's Brady Singer. Maybe he's going to be the guy. If he's going to be your guy moving forward, there's got to be a guy to end losing streaks. And hopefully Brady's going to go out there and do today.
You think he'll MF an umpire tonight, maybe? Nah, just, you know, I'd like to see it.
Well, we've talked about it on here. I blew up 2 Tuesdays ago about how bad the umpire was that one Monday, and there's more things have happened since. So,
is that one of the things you miss about pitching, being able to perhaps have the opportunity to pitch with Angel Hernandez behind the plate?
I really miss that.
Right.
But, I mean, just somebody's got to step up. I mean, offensively, defensively, on the mound, just to get us out of this funk. Thank God we're with, you know, it's the Tigers.
Right.
They might be the only team worse than us.
When it comes to run differential, they are the only team that's worse in the American League than the Royals.
Well, and I heard you talking about it yesterday and the run differential thing. You look at the run differential, there's some weird anomalies, not just with the Royals, but in other parts of the league, too, that some teams that are, you know, way over 500 with a negative run differential. You know, just things are going to end up playing out different over the long haul, over 162 than they are right now. We just have to, and we did it. We did it for a long time, is try to win series, you know. Mm-hmm. And you can't get swept at home, and much less in a 7-game series, much less in a 4-game series. So, you know what, maybe we go get right at Detroit, we hope.
Yeah, that shows you that it is it's early, right? Like, that's part of why you see that. But the only team now the only two teams that are above 500 in the American League with a negative run differential, the A's are 6 games over 500, and they're negative 10.
Well, because they started off so bad. I mean, that first series for them was epically terrible, and then they righted the ship.
They rattled off 12 wins in a row, didn't they?
12 or 13. And that's even harder to do than lose 8.
Yeah. Seattle's 1 game over 500. They're negative 15. But the rest of the league, it is starting to kind of even out, where the run differential matches up with the record a little bit more. That's the part, I guess, when I was making those points yesterday about how the Royals have the second worst run differential in the American League. They have the third worst team ERA and the fourth worst run production of any team. It's like, so the pitching It's been towards the bottom. The hitting's been towards the bottom. Run differentials toward the bottom. They actually, maybe you could say, have been a little lucky to only be a game under 500. Now, that doesn't mean they're that bad of a team. The point is they're going to have to play better.
right. They have to.
Soler's got to start to hit. Dozier's got to start to hit. Some of the young pitchers need to produce better on the mound. Keller's got to get going. And it's not like those things are impossible, but they can't play like they have and expect to go. If they play the next 33 games like the first, at this pace, they're probably going to be worse than a game under 500. They got to play better.
Well, and the only person that you can really say that's been hot at the plate was Salvi for that week.
Yeah, he had that great home stand.
He had that great week where he had a couple walk-offs. Yeah. But other than that, nobody's really strung together a hitting streak or anything like that. So Witt's the guy that kind of stirs the drink a little bit. When he's doing a good job of getting on base, this team's a little bit different. There's a little bit of a spark plug, and he's been scuffling a little bit. So I don't know. I mean, all those little things that we were doing, it wasn't one thing that we were doing well, but we were winning games. That was the thing. And now we're not doing any of those things well, and we're not winning games at all, one-run games or anything else.
Well, here's a good sign for tonight. And I don't know if you're into the DraftKings or anything like that. Maybe you make a mental note here. But Brady Singer going up against the Detroit Tigers. Would you like to hear his numbers so far in his young career against Detroit?
Please.
He's had four starts against Detroit. He's 3-0, 25 innings, 13 hits, 3 walks, 24 strikeouts, a 1.44 ERA, and a whip of 0.64. I'll take it.
Yep, go get him.
I'll take that.
And remember what A.J. Hinch said about him last time he pitched against the Tigers. He talked about how his usage is simple, but his stuff isn't simple. We talked with Mike McFarland about that. He talked to A.J. Hinch about it. Like, hey, what did you mean when you were saying that? And basically, Singer's a two-pitch pitcher.
Yep.
And you don't see that a lot out of starting pitchers, but his stuff is so good with those two pitches that he can be dominant. It basically is what Hinch was trying to say.
Well, and is that sustainable with Brady Singer, his repertoire and his stuff? I'm talking for long-term success?
Yeah, because I think, he has a changeup, but it's kind of a show me, so you got to keep it in the back of your head.
He throws it about 4% of the time.
Sure. I mean, it's something that a hitter's got to account for because he does have one, but he's going to go out there and get people out with his stuff. I mean, a lot of times when you sit down and you look at scouting reports for guys and get an idea of what teams, it's not that you're always going to pitch to a batter's weakness. If somebody's got a glaring something that you look at, you're going to try to exploit that. But most of the time, you're going to go out there and pitch to your strengths. Well, mm-hmm. Brady's got enough starts under his belt. He knows what his strengths are. His strengths are fastball, slider. So, go out there and get people out with that. I think he could do that long term. He's going to have to show a changeup. And then, you know what? Guys start, then he's got to make an adjustment. That's what this league's about, is you making adjustments more so than the other people making adjustments. I mean, you can go out there and locate your pitches. He's going to be just fine.
Jamie Bluma is our guest. All right, Bluma, let's take a small break from Royals talk because somebody that you've actually helped us get on the show before, local guy from Gardner-Edgerton High School, John Means,
awesome,
threw an effing no-hitter since we last spoke, and damn near a perfect game. And we've gone through the story. I mean, he was to the point where he created a LinkedIn page because he was unsure if he was gonna make it in this thing we call baseball. But to read the story about his father passing away last year, and then he's talking about how he felt like his dad was there with him, telling him what pitch to throw. And then he had his dad's initials in his glove. I mean, that's like that's like the treatment. That's the elements for a good sports movie, right? Yep. You got this guy that was, kind of a fringe guy in the minors. I'm going to make a LinkedIn account. And he doesn't believe he's going to, maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. But then not only does He makes it to an all-star game, and he establishes himself as a member of the rotation. Then his father passes away, and then to honor his father with the initials in the glove, and he's thinking about his dad. in between innings and he fires a no-hitter. Wow. I mean, you get goosebumps even talking about it. God. Gardner Edgerton represents.
Awesome. So that, obviously, last Wednesday, and I was down at Beaver Lake fishing, and we're sitting around having some beers, and I get a text from somebody like, are you paying attention to what's going on? And I wasn't, and so I kind of take a peek, and I push my phone away. I'm like, all right, it was the sixth inning. I'm like, I don't even want to talk about
don't
it.
Jinx
I don't even
it.
Want to talk about
Focus
it.
Focus well, on Beaver Lake.
One of the guys I was with, Jason, he's like, the seventh inning, I think he got an alert on his phone. He's like, hey, I'm like, shh, don't say anything. I don't want to jinx it. And I didn't even realize until later on that it would have been a perfect game except for a drop third strike on a pitch, too. So good for him. Was talking. So how I first met him and started working with him years ago was when I was at 68 Inside Sports. As his dad, Alan, brought their team in to rent space to practice. And so I ended up, I think they were probably 10 or 11 back then, and had an opportunity to work with those guys. And he was just a good guy and a really good coach, and was always out supporting all the other kids in the area too. And if you don't know this, his little brother, Jacob Means, is a Royals minor leaguer. He's in low A with the Royals. So I was able to text him and Jill and the mom and everything. Couldn't have been more happy for him. Obviously, you guys know the whole story, and excited for him. And now he's the guy. I mean, that's not only was he their opening day starter and runner-up for Rookie of the Year in 2019, but I mean, he's, if not the best, one of the best guys in the American League right now. And he's worked his ass off, and I couldn't be more proud of him.
And so for you, and I like the message you gave also when we listened to his post-game interview after firing that no-hitter. He talked about, hopefully other kids in baseball, minor leaguers that aren't the hot prospect, that aren't the draft pick taken in the first couple of rounds, that this inspires them to believe that
Absolutely.
You can make it. You know, you don't have to be a first or second round pick. You don't have to be, you know, labeled a superstar before you even, you know, get through the minors. You can work your ass off and make it. To have a guy like that from this area, from Gardner Edgerton, how often do you use that example when you're working with young pitchers from this area now? What a great story to tell. It's fantastic, right?
And that's what you just said it, and John said it too, man. It's hard. This game is hard, and the route that he took is the route a lot of people. And to be a first-rounder and sign for millions and millions of dollars, there's only so few of those guys. You know, most everybody else has to go through it and figure it out and learn how to be better. And it's, you know, he went the junior college route. He went to Fort Scott, then he went to West Virginia. And got the opportunity. I remember when he was in Double A with the Orioles, one of my former Wichita State teammates, Kenny Steenstra. Kenny was his Double A pitching coach, and we would talk back and forth just about, you know, it's so much fun having a guy making his way. Hopefully, at that point, you know, he was never an uber prospect for those guys, but he continued to go out there and work and get better at his craft, and now he's got one of the best changeups. I mean, I'll use that as an example with my kids too. You know, you got to understand, you know, all the different aspects of pitching in the true sense of the word. Because he wasn't a guy, you know, that's a 98 to 100 guy like a Ryan Stanek was or some of the guys like that. It's just, you know, crazy good stuff. That guy knows how to pitch in the truest sense of the word, and that's what's fun to watch. Is he's gotten so much better at the big league level. A lot of times you don't see that. You see a guy with stuff. Man, he's continued to just get better at the major league level, which is super exciting.
I mean, that's the truth in every sport. We don't know how people are going to develop.
Right.
You know, and so scouts are doing the best they can, but it's easy to figure out which guy can throw the hardest. And then you take a shot on those guys and you take their athleticism and you hope that the other parts of the game develop. But some guys mature later physically than others. Some guys have the desire, the burning desire inside to keep working. Some guys just are able to figure things out, too. You know, that goes back to those four components I've been talking about the sport. But it's a great lesson because everybody in this city knew who, that's a sports fan anyway, knew who Bubba Starling was. Everybody. Was he going to go to play football? He could have been a stud football player, top five pick in the draft. Everybody knew who he was. I didn't know who John Means was. You know, at that time when they were in high school, I didn't know who he was until he got to the big leagues. And you're like, hey, man, I know that guy.
Yeah. Braves actually took a flyer on him back out of high school.
Yeah.
They drafted him
like the 44th round or something like that.
Yeah, back when there was 50 rounds. So somebody, I think it was Knobenshue. I'll have to ask Jill or Jake will remember the scout for the Braves. But yeah, man, big kid. Just know, I think that's kind of shows you too what the analytics side of the game and knowing some of that kind of stuff, you can figure out a little bit more of maybe what works best for you based on that kind of stuff. And man, his velocity's gotten better from a strength and a in that kind of standpoint. Now he's a, you know, a three pitch pitcher and can locate 26 out of 27 first pitch strikes.
Unbelievable.
It's one of the jokes, not one of the jokes, but one of the riddles I say to the kids every time I'm doing a pitching lesson. What's the best pitch in baseball? Mm-hmm. They're like, well, fastball. I'm like, no, strike one. Strike one. Get ahead, man. And 26 out of 27. I think I saw the stat that the first time somebody had done it at that high a percentage range since Brad Radke with the Twins back in the day. So, awesome.
Let's take a break. We will continue our conversation with Jamie Bluma after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you very much for joining us. We appreciate it. So Royals end the losing streak tonight against the Tigers with Brady Singer on the mound?
Yep.
Jake, are you into the DraftKings? Do you do the streaming? Do you do the daily games? Do you?
I'm trying to stay away from it.
Well,
Royals are -130.
Are you really? No, you had stepped away. Did you hear Brady Singer's numbers against Detroit so far in his young career?
What are they?
I don't want to. You said you don't really do that anymore, so I'm trying to stay away from it. I don't want to.
No, I mean, maybe I don't do that anymore.
Right. So you don't?
I don't know. We tell stories on the radio, right?
Sometimes.
Well, the point
is a show, right?
The point I'm trying to make, I'm just and you could say, hey, he's going to continue his domination, or Bluma, a team gets a look enough at a guy, and finally it's their night. We'll see. I don't think so.
Nope. Make pitches.
Jake Pounder's against the Detroit Tigers. So far in his career, 4 starts. He's 3-0 with a 1.44 ERA, a .64 WHIP, 25 innings. 13 hits, 3 walks, and 24 strikeouts. And so
-130.
Perhaps that is something you could take a closer look at with Brady Singer on the mound. And he's performed very well in Detroit at Comerica Park. He's actually had 3 of those starts. He's 2-0 with a 1.50 ERA and a .7 WHIP, 18 innings, 10 hits, 3 walks, 19 strikeouts at Comerica Park.
I would like to see us get a couple off Boyd early because he's probably the best of their bunch as far as, you know, their staff. I mean, they got a lot of young guys in their staff with Mize and some of the guys, but Boyd's kind of the veteran. So let's get a couple runs off him so Brady can, you know, pitch with a lead.
My hesitation would be the bullpen.
Well, nothing's perfect.
Right. No,
just giving you some options here.
130.
Okay, one more non-Royal story just to wrap things up. Albert Pujols, designated for assignment. We don't know if that's it for him. Let's start with the first question, which some people think is ridiculous, but I see Ryan O'Hearn as DH, so you want to...
Thin bench.
You want to bring Pujols home to have him DH a little bit and
something
get some butts in the seats?
Something to consider, for sure. I mean, I'm sure Dayton's looking at it, and maybe that helps our team. I don't know.
Nate, would you look at it with those new glasses?
Yes, I would. I would put these glasses on and take a good... close look at
what if someone said, "Oh, what the hell's wrong with you, Albert Pujols?" But I mean,
I'll tell you what, on Friday night,
they're not
Friday
scoring
night,
runs.
Two outs, bases loaded, you're down 3 runs.
Would you like to have Pujols up there or Nicky Lopez?
I think I probably would have looked to pinch hit there.
Okay,
I actually like that night when he got released, I texted Joel Goldberg about it because, by the way,
Goldberg say, "Stop texting me, please."
Joel's got a. By the way, I don't know if you guys know, Joel's had a book out. He wrote a book this past year, and I've been reading it. And there's a great chapter about his relationship with Albert Pujols.
Joel Goldberg.
And
what's the name of the book? Give him a plug, man.
Yeah.
Oh man, I have it at home.
You said you read it. You're reading it, so it sounds like now you're.
Well, I don't. I mean, I'm more concerned
on
this book.
Elaborate on Pujols.
I don't know the name of it.
Well, I don't judge a book by its cover.
That's a good one.
Oh boy.
So are they so yes or no?
Okay. Small ball, big results. There you go. Small ball, big results.
I have it at home as well.
It's a good book, and he's got a lot of great stories in it. And one of his stories is about how
Joel. I'd like an autographed copy sent to the radio station for me because I'm a fan of yours. If that's possible,
he drove over here and hand delivered an autographed copy to me.
Did he drop mine in the parking lot, or did you forget to give me the?
I specifically asked him.
Well, I just did on the radio.
I didn't ask.
Let's see how that works.
I should have asked for you for a copy as well, but
you would have to think of me for you to do that.
I'm very self-absorbed.
Maybe the book's with my wedding invitation somewhere in the closet. Now, so you're in, Jake? Okay, Lebo, Mr. Cynic, Mr. Skeptical, would you sniff around Pujols to see? He said, "See, no, there it is." I didn't even ask the question. Why? Why? The bar so high with DH right now?
Why?
I don't know, because they don't score runs.
Batting in the ninth inning with three runners on, down three runs.
Well, they could have batted someone else there besides Albert Pujols.
You think Ryan O'Hearn's just got the DH locked down right now where you just can't possibly get more production?
Albert Pujols, I know Nate loves war stats, right?
Yeah, Nate loves it.
Loves him.
Nate loves
him. You know, before this year, or he was a 100 war guy,
yeah.
Now he's not because he's going the wrong way.
Negative one.
Why don't you just kick a legend while he's down? Is that what you come in here to do? Man, oh man.
He just did.
He's trying to make that a feel-good story, but Todd doesn't want to feel good. But despite Todd's criticism, you'd entertain it.
Of course you got it. You got to entertain everything.
But if this is it for him, of the guys that you've had a chance to since you've been playing, to watch, to enjoy, is he? Where does he fit in as like the greatest hitters you've seen in your time? Not guys before you were born or before you watched baseball. Since you've been watching this sport of baseball that you love so much, man, he's got to be
top five for sure. Yeah. Right-handed hitter. I mean, yes, maybe
who's better that you've seen?
Trout, but not for as long as Pujols did it. Yeah, crazy. And crazy stat, too, is the pick after Albert Pujols that year in the draft was my younger brother.
Right.
So, similar career path.
Right.
Very similar.
Right.
Sorry,
the Cardinals.
Sorry, Mark.
Are angered by that. Like, oh, we could add
Mark. You know what, man? And everybody, I remember back in the day, everybody was mad when he made it up. Like, well,
Maple Woods.
Every team passed on him 12 times.
It just, So
I think people are just mad like every team isn't right by Maple Woods, so you would think they'd have a...
Well. That is what it is, man. Yeah. Kudos to him.
He had a 3-year stretch where he walked over 100 times 3 years in a row. And that's in addition to hitting 40 plus home runs in those seasons.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he was an on base machine.
RBIs, man, unbelievable.
Power hitter. He really was a complete hitter.
Yep.
He was a complete hitter in terms of getting on base, hitting for average, hitting for power, which is something you don't see as much. I feel like in today's game, a lot of it is so much about on-base percentage and launch angle and everything that you don't see. Like, he could hit to all fields. He's 41. He wasn't hitting well with the Angels. I don't know what he's got left. But even if it's a Raul Ibanez situation where he comes in here and he's
not
going to
cost you anything. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think that could help a young team out.
Possibly.
How could you help a young baseball player out?
You could give us a call over at home field, 913-320-4404. Or check us out on Facebook, Homefield Olathe. I do want to give a shout-out to our fishing guide and the guys that took care of me down at Beaver Lake over the weekend. Big Bob's Striper Guides, Bob Ball. And also...
Bobby Ball?
Bob Ball.
That's
awesome.
Right.
Had a good time down there. And Hurricane son Alex Van Zant, Missouri undergrad, graduating from UMKC Law School.
Hey!
This weekend. So,
you awesome. Know, Jake got in trouble in high school at St. Thomas Aquinas. He was caught with a DVD called Beaver Lake, which I don't, not sure it was about fishing, but he.
And thanks again.
You only ever watched the first 5 minutes of
that's it.
And thanks again to my golf team yesterday.
3 minutes.
Kim, Trisha, Dave, Colby, and Steven, thank you for always a wonderful event at Lionsgate. Lindy, Paige, everybody with ALS.
Aren't they great?
Tom, George. Steven Sr. I tried to go in and give him a big hug.
He said, slow it down.
He said, let's do the slow one. Let's do the slow one.
He told you to stay away from Polo Ray.
Right. We're trying to reintroduce him. He said you go in there and stir everything up and then leave.
Stir it up. I'm going to have lunch with him soon here at Shemeca's again up there at the deli.
We've got to go to Shemeca's for sure. But now, after talking about that, why can't we all go to El Pollo Ray? Does he make a visit down? Can we do that after the show one day?
I'm in.
Well, I mean, I feel like if we're together and we meet my dad, do you guys want to do that after the show coming up
there?
Yeah,
I'll go.
Yes, please.
I'm in.
Let's try to figure out a day because I need that chicken in my life immediately. Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll be right back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.